We're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. Tonight I'm going to speak in my series on finances, investing basics. Now, this could go on and on and on and on forever, so I'm only going to limit this to one lesson, but I'm going to recommend some things that you can do to help yourself in a dramatic way in this area. But as soon as you talk about investing, somebody always, they say, "Oh, Pastor, is that spiritual?" Well, let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 25, and find out about the matter of investing. Is that spiritual? Matthew chapter 25, these are the words of Jesus beginning at verse 14. Matthew 25 and 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, of course, a parable is a story that takes something that is familiar and transfers a familiar truth to something that is unfamiliar. In this particular case, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like something, and then Jesus tells a story. For the kingdom of heaven story to be accurate, for the comparison to be accurate, the truth that is given must be accurate. Verse 15. "And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now, when we think of a talent, we think of an ability, but that's not what it's speaking of here. That is a piece of money. A talent was a piece of money. In the relation to the parable, really, it ends up being ability, as we would apply it today. But the word talent literally is a measurement of money. So we might say a dollar. He gave some money to these individuals. Verse 15, "Unto one he gave 5 talents, if you want $5, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So he's given these individuals some money that they're to be careful of, that they're to watch out for. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. This guy was smart. He had the most amount of money. He invested or traded or lent them out. He did something that was a financial activity, and he reaped a 100% profit. Now, that's tremendous. He did a great job, and he reaped the 100% profit. He made them other 5 more talents. Verse 17, "Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So here's another 100% increase in the investment process. Verse 18, "But he that had received 1, he only had 1 talent, $1, if you will, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." He buried the money. "After a long time," by the way, it takes a long time sometimes for an investment to grow. You shouldn't be impatient. "But after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Now notice, he is praising these for the increase that they had made. They had been entrusted with a certain amount of money. These 2 men had taken that money and invested it. Does not say what they invested it in or how they worked that out. But they had taken that money, they had invested in it, and then they had turned a 100% profit, and the Lord said, "You've done a good job." That is a good thing. Verse 24, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man," pardon me, "reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there that is thine." In other words, he gave him back the 1 talent, the $1. He just gave it back to him. "His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers." Now pause there for a moment. What is that? That would be like a banking system, a lending system. "Put my money to the exchangers, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And on goes the parable. Now, I understand tonight that the primary emphasis of that parable is not on contemporary investing. I understand that tonight. You do not have to confront me afterwards and say, well, Pastor, theologically, this means this, 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 and this. I understand that tonight. But for the theological principle to be good and correct, the parable also must be good and correct. Jesus did not condemn the activity of those who had wisely invested the money that had been entrusted to him, but rather he praised their investment activity and said, when you are given something that is small, it is a good thing through wise handling to multiply what is given and make it something that is big. Now, application today would be this. If I'm given a responsibility that is small, God expects me to take that small duty, that small job, and do my best for the kingdom of God's sake. That would be application. But the principle is this. Jesus here approved of the practice of taking money and investing it to make more money. It is a biblical principle that we're not only to be careful with the money God gives us, but we should seek to multiply that for His service and for His use as wise stewards. Certainly, we are not to be wasteful of money, but in addition, we are to be careful and wise so that that which the Lord entrusts us with can multiply. Now, look at the introduction, if you will. Economists report that the savings rate is at an all-time low for American families. How much are American families saving today? -2%. Pastor, how can you save -2%? You can't. That means that we're annually going in the hole 2% every year. We're not only not saving money, but we're getting deeper in debt as Americans. Maybe not individuals in this room, but as Americans overall. This dangerous trend indicates that rather than save for their futures, Americans are mortgaging their futures with excessive debt. With over 700 references to money, the Bible clearly teaches the importance both of saving and investing. Now, without a doubt, whenever I've spoken on this topic or even alluded to it, someone will come up to me afterwards very piously and inform me that investing money is the same as gambling. That is ridiculous. And I wanted to address that first and foremost. Ah, Pastor, you know, if you put any money into an equity fund or into the stock market, it's identical to gambling. Absolutely not. Let's look at some of the points I've given. Is investing the same as gambling? No. Investing involves the purchase of real assets. Gambling involves the purchase of something inherently worthless, like a lottery ticket, in the hope that chance will make it valuable. By that definition, some highly speculative, quote-unquote, investments are in reality gambling. Now, everybody listen carefully. When you invest, you purchase something of inherent value. It means when you invest money, say you've saved aside some money, and you say, boy, I want to put this money into something that will make it to grow and to multiply, you do not look for a get-rich-quick scheme. You do not necessarily throw your money at the penny market. How many know what I'm talking about, the penny market, okay? That's a fool's paradise. You do not throw your money after... That is gambling. That's not a legitimate investment. But a real investment is something that purchases something that is a real asset of real value. A stock, for example, if you own a share in a company, that means you own a piece of that company. Now, you may not own many shares. Maybe you only own a stapler on somebody's desk at the 3M Corporation. That may be all you have. But you still have the stapler. It's an actual asset. It is something real. So that is different between that and gambling. Point B, both investing and gambling involve risk. See, someone says, oh, a pastor, it's so risky. It's just as risky to put your money in the stock market as it is to go and buy a lottery ticket. Boy, you don't understand math very well, do you? The lottery is geared so that you lose. The chances, the risk. Now, by the way, well, Pastor, I'm not going to take any risk at all. You did by coming here tonight. You took a risk by getting into your car. for some of you, the way you drive, maybe that was like gambling. I don't know. But you took a risk in coming here tonight. Everything in life involves risk, but the difference between investing and gambling is, in part at least, the difference of the risk. Everything in life involves risk, but not everything is based solely upon risk alone. It is risky to drive a car. It is a complete risk and chance to drive a car without brakes. Understand the comparison there. This is why investing is not the same as gambling. Investing certainly involves some risk, but not the risk of gambling, which is almost a guaranteed loss. Point C, the purchase of appreciable assets, assets that could increase in value, and the lending of money at interest are both acceptable biblical methods of wealth building. And here is the example, Matthew 25. And again, for the proverb to be legitimate, what took place in the proverb and what was praised, not the proverb, pardon me, the parable, what took place in the parable and was praised by the Lord had to be something that is legitimate. All right, I wanted to cover this. Let me move quickly into it. What is the history of investment concepts? Well, for many centuries, civilization viewed money as sterile. This was certainly not true in Bible times. Matthew 25 is an example of where money begat money. In other words, they thought, though, for centuries that money was unable to multiply itself. Aristotle promoted this, that money should be unproductive, and St. Thomas Aquinas influenced the Roman Catholic Church to adopt that view. Now, what was Aquinas doing? He sought to harmonize the teachings of Catholicism with Aristotle. So for centuries, the Roman Church taught that to charge any interest at all was ungodly. Did you know that? They didn't permit any interest at all. Money and the economy fell flat because it had the effect of making money sterile. Money could no longer produce money. It's interesting, though, led by John Calvin, the reformers adopted a more biblical view of money. They taught the people that money could produce itself through reasonable interest charges on loan. Usury is excessive interest. Reasonable interest charges are acceptable. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because the Lord said in Matthew chapter 25, you could have put my money out to the lenders and gained the interest back, and I would have my money, my principal, and the interest as well. All such charges of interest should be governed, of course, by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. But the Protestant reformers helped to lay the groundwork for capitalistic investment. Now, I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but if you think about the Middle Ages, and then you think about the Protestant Reformation, along with the Protestant Reformation, there arose in Europe a brand new group of people. They were called the middle class. Where did they come from? They came from an economy that was slowly being freed from the government of Rome, the Roman Church. Point C, thrift and careful saving and investment coupled with the Protestant work ethic dramatically increased prosperity in many European countries, and the middle class was born. And that's an interesting point economically. And, of course, we are the heirs of the middle class, eventually purely capitalist system that was to grow out of the idea that money is not sterile, but that money can reproduce itself. Now, having said that then, and justified the concept both scripturally and historically that investing is a good thing to do, what are some basic principles? And this is the meat of what I want to get to tonight. Number one, begin by saving. Really simple. You cannot invest unless you save. Former generations of Americans lived by the precept of saving at least 10% of their incomes. They often referred to this practice as pay yourself first. How many have ever heard of this? Pay yourself first. Now, we as Christians believe pay the Lord first. We give Him the first fruits. We give Him the 10%. But then wisely, a former generation said, once you've paid your tithe, put another 10% into saving somewhere, put that away. And that was built into their budgets at one time. Of course, that's not the case anymore in America. Our savings rate's negative 2% today. Initially, savings should be part of an emergency fund. We've talked about that. Once that is sufficiently funded at $1,000 initially, additional savings can go into investment. So you have to start out by saving money. Preacher, how am I going to save money? That has to be a line of your budget. It just has to be a line of your budget. I can't do that right now. It needs to be a line of your budget. You'll never start unless you start. That's another deep thought here at Faith Baptist Church. But you'll never start unless you start. Once you start, you'll be amazed at how quickly it could grow. Begin by saving. Point B, develop an investment plan. Now, there are many reasons to save. I'm quickly going to give you three. Number one, retirement. Retirement. Some money should be set aside in long-term investments for retirement. You should use a retirement investment vehicle, such as a 401k or a Roth IRA. If your employer matches retirement funds, I would save the maximum allowable under the plan. Why? That's good money. That's good free money. Take it. If your employer will match the funds, be sure you use that money. Some folks save for college. Now, I didn't want to get into detail about this, so if you want to start a college saving account, you can do that. You need to talk to a good CPA. They can recommend the proper vehicle that will shield that money from taxes, and I would recommend it because today there are significant tax advantages in college saving. Then the third one, savings as an investment. This is not necessarily for your retirement, but it's to put your savings somewhere other than the bank where you get very little return. You know, you keep your money in a savings account, you get very little, maybe a couple pennies here and there. You want to put it into an investment that will do better. Invest your savings over and above the emergency fund in order to maximize the return on your money over time. Now, here's where I am about to become controversial, okay? Everything so far, nobody would disagree with pretty much. Point C, beware of investment brokers, fund managers, and financial planning experts. Beware, beware, beware. Oh, but Pastor, he's my friend. Beware of investment brokers, fund managers, and financial planning experts. Why do you say this, preacher? Number one, remember, the so-called experts are primarily salesmen. They have been trained in sales. They're selling financial products from which they draw hefty commissions. They are in the business primarily to make money, not to help you. They're in the business to put money on their, Pastor, my broker says he's got, there's a real good deal on this mutual fund. Mm-hmm. What kind of a commission is he getting? What kind of a bonus does he get from his company? Oh, is it an in-house fund that just happens to be owned by the investment company that you're part of, and they're promoting that? Follow me on this. You can listen to all the talk you want to. Well, he's a good man. I'm not questioning his goodness, but he's also probably a pretty good salesman. And he's been trained in how to sell these things. These are financial products. Beware of that. Be careful. Think about this. I've given you a quote. Think about this. The Economist, this was a public broadcasting special, Nova had this on a while back. The economists who studied brokerage accounts and brokers and those who were selling these financial things, the economists arrived at a devastating conclusion. It seemed just as plausible to attribute the success of top traders to sheer luck rather than to skill. Oh, but Pastor, if I pay a whole lot of money for my financial advisor, he's a sharp cookie, and so I'm paying a high percentage in order to get all his good advice. Yep, he's a good salesman is what he is. Why is it that this is the only realm in the world where we as Americans think we're getting a better deal if we're paying more? We're actually not getting a better deal. The more you're paying in percentage for someone to manage your money, the less money you're going to have to manage and the less money you're going to have to multiply. Point three, hyperactive brokers. That is almost all brokers. Hyperactive brokers make money whenever they convince you to purchase an investment. If you sell one asset and purchase another at your broker's recommendation, rest assured that he will make a nice commission directly from you. You say, preacher, why are you saying this? I'll tell you why. Because I had a brokerage account for my retirement, and I had a fellow who loved every year to dice up the things and sell this and buy that and sell that and trade this. And then, of course, the seven-page long statement would come in the mail, almost undecipherable without a CPA. Couldn't tell what his commission was. But I handed it over to an expert who looked at it, and he said, well, isn't this interesting? He said the man sold a fund out of this fund family. He sold this fund, but he bought another fund, a different fund within the same family, and collected 5% commission from you. This man said to me, Pastor, did you know that that man could have just exchanged these shares for this kind of shares within that family, and there would have been no charge to you? That, by the way, is borderline criminal. See, that guy's not on my side. Now, he'd smile at me, shake my hand, give me a cup of coffee. But honestly, he's my financial enemy. You say, preacher, what did you do? I fired him. Took all my money out of there. Because that's crooked. that's dishonest. And I don't know how much over the years. I don't even want to go back and try to figure it out, to be honest with you, because I don't want to be bitter. But I'm just saying, beware, beware. The hyperactive broker, point four, no one can predict the market. Boy, I ought to underline that. That's why I put it in them slimy letters there for you. No one can predict the market. No one can predict returns on individual investments. The more your broker thinks of his prophetic abilities, the less you should trust him. Period. End of discussion. I'm not interested to hear any more about that. You simply cannot time the market. No, but my broker bought this, and it was 100% return. Yeah, but he's not telling you about the thing he bought and lost his shirt on. You cannot predict the market. Pastor Monty fired his broker, my investment salesman, over a year ago, and I've managed my own account since that time. You may want to consider doing the same. By the way, since that time, one of my investments did go over 100%. I haven't lost any money on it. But you say, Master, you must know an awful lot about this. No, you don't need to know very much. You just need to know what to do, and we're going to get into that in a minute. So what is my advice? Now, honestly, now, folks, listen. If you have over $1 million to handle, maybe you better have somebody else kind of watching out for you. But if you have less than $1 million, you can do this yourself and save a lot of money. Now, here's where I want to say this. I'm not telling you what to do, nor am I giving you advice. From this point on in the message, I'm telling you what I have done, just in case you're interested. I just saved myself from a lawsuit. All right. Do it yourself. This is what I have done. Do it myself. How did I do it? Learn the basics of investing. Two little books you should read. That Investing for Dummies. How many have seen the For Dummies series? Have you seen those yellow books? Those are great books. They really are. Get the Investing for Dummies. If you don't know anything, get that book and read it. Good, basic, sound material. That should be the first thing you read. Number two, get the book entitled The Smartest Investment Book You'll Ever Read. That is available right now at Barnes & Noble. You can get that, or Borders, or one of the bookstores in town. The Smartest Investment Book You Will Ever Read. I'll explain that in a moment. Then you want to open an account with an online brokerage firm. Now, well, this is what I've done. This is what I've done. You say, Preacher, what did you do? I took my money, my retirement money, from the scoundrels, the vultures that had it, I won't name the company, the vultures that had it downtown. I took it from them and put it into a Scottrade account. Now, how many in this room know that the preacher is not good with computers? How many know that? You know that. The skill is minimal. May I say that if I can do this, anyone in this room can do this, okay? I had it all moved over into this particular account, and I opened an account. Example I've given is Scottrade. They're an online brokerage company. Go to their website, download the applicable forms, www.scottrade.com. Download some forms. Open a trading account with as little as $500 by bringing the completed forms and a check to Scottrade. They're located on Meridian Street in downtown, just off the circle. So you bring your check down, you bring your forms down, hand it to the man at the counter. He'll set up an account. From then on, you can make purchases. Oh, Pastor, it's too expensive to buy stock. Why, the broker wants $50 a transaction. Sure he does, because his time's way more valuable than yours. Is it really? No way. Scottrade, you can make exchanges, trades, buy and sell all day long for $7. Everything you do costs $7 when you're just buying an individual stock. You can buy 1,000 shares and pay $7 brokerage fee. You can buy 10 and pay the $7 fee. Probably not the smart thing to do, but you could if you wanted. Mutual funds cost a little more. Sometimes they're $17 for a trade. But still, you're saving a significant amount of money over your broker who's asking for $50 every time he buys or sells something for you. Familiarize yourself with research tools located in that trading platform on the Internet, and they have as well a training session. Become comfortable with it before you purchase your investments. Be sure to visit their online training tools. It'll teach you exactly what to do. It'll define all the terms. It'll tell you what everything means. It is amazing how well they will seek to educate the investor so that you can do this on your own. Well, Preacher, I'd have to have hours and hours. No, you wouldn't. If you put 15 minutes into this per day for a little while, you'd learn the basics of investing. Now, you have, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let somebody else take care of it. Well, put your blinders on. But remember, that's your money. And remember that guy who's taking care of it? He wants your money. Okay, understand that. And it would be better for you to understand something. You know, most of us want to know just a little bit about how our car operates. At least we understand what the accelerator is, the difference between the accelerator and the brake, you know. We want to know the basics of something. I'm not saying you have to become an MBA. I'm saying this. What you need to do is understand the basics so you know you're not getting taken. But if you understand the basics, you can do it for yourself. Because listen here, folks, can I tell you something? Honest, truly, investing is not rocket science. Well, Pastor, so-and-so said you got to have these degrees. I know. You know why they told you that? Because the high priests of every profession have to guard their profession from amateurs who could break in all of a sudden and say, you know what, this isn't so difficult after all. I'm simply saying if you understand some fundamental principles, you can do this on your own and you can be successful at it. So go ahead and do that if you'd like to try. Again, I'm not recommending it, but if you'd like to, give it a try. Remember, you can open several types of accounts, IRAs, investment accounts, whatever you want at Scottrade. All right. Or Scottrade E-Trade Financials is another one. Build a diversified portfolio, especially for retirement investing. Diversification means you don't put all your eggs into one basket, either an individual stock. You know, well, Pastor Conseco, I'm going to put all my money into Conseco. Yeah, I just wouldn't be doing that, even though the other guy's gone from there. Don't put it all in one place. You have it in different stocks. And don't put it all in one financial sector. Well, I've got all stocks. I've got all bonds. No, you want a mix of those things. I'm going to explain how to figure that out in just a moment. Point two, use mutual funds to diversify and secure your investment money. Mutual funds carry less risk than individual stock. Preacher, what's a mutual fund? Here it is. It's just a fund from which you buy shares, and that fund contains all kinds of stocks across the board. Different stocks, different companies. And so the fund itself is made up of different companies. If those companies prosper, your fund prospers. If those companies don't do well, your fund doesn't do well. Someone said, Preacher, what if I own a mutual fund and I lost everything overnight? Boom! If that happens to your mutual fund, something very serious has happened to the American economy. If you lose everything in a mutual fund overnight, so has everyone else. These funds invest, multiply millions, if not billions of dollars into the American economy, and to lose it all would mean there was something horrible that had taken place in our economy. Now, here is point three. Consider using index mutual funds. Boy, I want you to just listen to me. And I'm just telling you to consider doing this. Mutual funds are funds that own all kinds of different shares of investment. Some have bonds, stocks, realty. Others have a mix of all of those different things in them. They are managed by a man who is called a fund manager. That man buys and sells and trades. It's his job to buy new things, to sell things that aren't doing too good, to look at something over here and say, maybe I want to buy that. And he's actively managing your mutual fund. That's what he does for his salary. He probably has several funds he manages, but he's managing yours. He's buying, selling, and trading. Oh, Preacher, that's so nice of him. He's an expert. He's looking out for me. No, he's not. He gains a hefty commission and bonuses and all kinds of money as that thing rises and falls. Well, who pays for his salary? You do. You pay for his salary. And some of the most hyperactively managed funds can charge maybe 5%. And that's off your return. So if, yeah, Pastor, I did really well last year. I had a 12% return. Yeah, but the guy charged you 5% in fees. So you ended up with a very weak 7% return. Is everybody following me on this? Now, an index fund is not managed by a human being. It's also not managed by a monkey pushing buttons. Preacher, what's it managed by? It's managed by a computer. Now watch this. All an index fund does is seek to match the return of the market. And a computer that doesn't get paid a salary is doing this. Matching the return of the market. Oh, well, Master, I can do so much better than market returns. I don't have time to go into the detail of this. Read the book, the smartest investment book you'll ever read. That will unveil the reality behind all of the business of timing and beating the markets. The average investment advisor who has been in it for decades has not been able over the long haul of his career to beat the market average. And the individual who invests in index funds over the long haul of time is doing better than many who put their money with a hyperactive manager who charges them 3, 4, 5%, who takes sales commissions on top of that, and who is merely guessing. Well, it's an educated guess. It is guesswork. This takes some of the guesswork out of that. I'm not telling you have to do this, but I think you should consider it. And I think if you're serious about your investments, you should just buy that little book and read it. I've given you some examples of index mutual funds to consider. Three companies carry these, Vanguard, Fidelity, and T. Rowe Price. These are mentioned, by the way, in detail in that little book that I mentioned a moment ago, the smartest investment book you'll ever read. You'll want to check those out. But then they have two of them, Vanguard and Fidelity, carry a product that is called a target retirement fund. With that fund, say you bought the Target Retirement Fund 2035, with that fund, not only does the computer automatically pick things to track the increase and growth of the market, but the computer also makes sure that the fund always remains balanced so that it doesn't over time become too heavy, let's say, in investment in foreign issues or something like that. The computer balances it and makes sure. That takes all the guesswork out. For you spiritual, what I do, I just buy this and then watch. If the market's going up, it's a sure thing you're going up. Now, if the market's going down, it's a sure thing you're going down, but your returns are going to match the market returns. There are many reasons you want to do this and not pretend you're some kind of maverick who can pick the hot stock, okay? How many have heard of that, people picking the hot? You know, there is some outfit that was faxing to the church every other day, a list of hot stocks. You know, Peggy would get this list of hot stocks, and we'd laugh at it, you know, faxing it. By the way, there are unscrupulous individuals who have built investment clubs of hundreds of thousands of members, and they will email their members early in the morning, say 9 o'clock in the morning, and they will say, today we're going to all make money on, let's just call Coca-Cola, for example. They wouldn't pick this stock, probably. But Coca-Cola, we're all going to make money on Coca-Cola. So all 500,000 members, whoever's in this club, they got the same email. They were told at 10 o'clock in the morning to buy a certain number of shares of Coca-Cola. All of a sudden, at 10 o'clock in the morning, boop, there's a blip. Coca-Cola starts going up because 500,000 people are buying shares. What happens? Millions of people watching the market notice that Coca-Cola went up all of a sudden. So in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you know what? Something exciting must be happening at Coca-Cola. Boy, we better get on this wave. We better ride this wave. So millions of people all of a sudden start dumping money. This happens every day. Millions of people dump money into Coca-Cola. By noon, Coca-Cola's up, 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 up. It starts attracting attention. Other people are buying. Hey, got to be part of this. Up, 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 up. Let's time the market. Up, 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 up. And the guy who's the president of the club at 2 o'clock in the afternoon sends out an email and he says, sell. And everyone puts in a sell order. And down it falls. And who made money? The folks in the club. Now listen, if you're timing the market, that's very, very risky. But if you're looking for market returns on an index fund, what I'm giving you today is ultra-conservative. I'm a conservative. I'm giving you ultra-conservative investment advice that over the long haul, that means years, that means decades for some of us who have decades left to go. Over the long haul, that will help you to build an investment portfolio. Now, here's the bottom line, and I'm done with this. Just hear me on this. I'm not handing out advice for you to take to the bank this evening. You need to do your own research. Everything I have said as a suggestion for you to look into more thoroughly. I don't want to cover investing any further than this, but to whet your appetite to look, to examine, and to be careful. But let me close with this thought. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. It is. Be careful who you listen to in regard to this. Use common sense. And if you want to get rich quick, stay as far away from equity investing as you possibly can. All right, I've got a minute or two. Does anyone have a question about this? Anyone with a question at all? Because I'm not going to cover this anymore. Yes, Oren. What I've gotten on average? Last couple of years, I can't say because I had my stuff was with the vultures over downtown. In the last year, I think last year was between 12 and 14% since I've had it. Now, some of my investments were over 100%. That was very unusual, and there is an unusual reason why that happened, and it is not to be repeated, and it will never be reduplicated in my lifetime. Okay, and that was nothing I knew of. It was nothing I was smart enough to find. It just happened. Okay, that was a complete surprise. Anyone else? Yes, go ahead, Ron. No, I don't offhand, but you'll find it. It's in the bookstores. In fact, last time I was in a bookstore, it was right up front, so it's still stocked there. And it all that author does is talk about index funds, why you ought to use those, and why everything else is a fraud. And before I hustled any money back to my investment advisor, I'd read that book and then ask some real hard questions. And you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at the lack of training these guys have. Training in the area of finance and investing. They have heavy training in the area of sales. Very good salesmen, but not much in the area of finance. So read that book. I'm recommending you to read that book. Anyone else with a question? Anyone at all? All right, just something to try, something to consider, but remember, I am not dispensing advice. The information provided in this lesson is for educational purposes only. It is not intended as a recommendation or endorsement of any financial service or product. All investment involves risk. Understand the dangers before you invest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray, Father, that you'll help us to be wise and careful stewards. Thank you, Lord, for the principles of investment that are found in the pages of the Bible. But now, Lord, as you've blessed us and multiplied us, help us, Lord, not to just take these things and, as it were, dig a hole and bury them in the ground, but help us understand that there are ways, Lord, that we can conservatively and carefully multiply them for the extended use of your kingdom. Bless, I pray, this lesson. Help each one of us to go from this place determined that those things you've entrusted us with, whether it be one talent or two or maybe five, will be carefully handled in such a way as we can bring the honor and glory to thee. Help us above all to be good stewards for the kingdom of heaven's sake. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.